This is CliffCentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Right, folks, good morning and welcome to Auto Central, brought to you by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. Nice full studio here this morning. Let's start with the ladies. Fazana, how are you doing?
Good, thanks, and you, Tom?
Yeah, very good. George, how are you?
Good, and you, Tom?
Good, and then we have Jim McFarlane from XS Promotions. How are you, Jim?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's only a pleasure. It's good to have you in studio.
Thanks.
So, as usual, there's always lots to talk about in the motor industry, and let's kick off, and I see that Ford has laid out 3 billion rand to build more Rangers and the new Raptor. So, basically, there's an investment of 3 billion to expand its production facilities at the Silverton plant, and this comes on the back of the Ranger pickup being announced as the top-selling vehicle in South Africa for the month of October. And in 2018, Ford South Africa will add a new Ranger Raptor to its production line. I don't know if you guys know, but obviously massive competition between Toyota and Ford when it comes to the Hilux and the Ranger. And the Ranger having sold 2,855 units versus Hilux's 2,400, and that was last month. So nice to see that.
Well done to them.
Yeah, exactly. Nice to see that Ford are investing, and I think it really is a nice story. I mean, it's another fantastic achievement for the guys on the ground here, and I think it's just a signal for Ford's ability to produce world-class products, that of the highest caliber. And I know that 70% of the vehicles that they are manufacturing are for the export market. So hats off to Ford.
That's brilliant.
Really, really brilliant. Good. I mean, I don't know how much you guys know, but I know that Raptor coming off Ranger had the American Rangers. Their buckies are always bigger and wider and stronger and faster as it is in America. And they had that F-150. Yeah. And I think the Raptor now is going to be added to our Ranger. So we could see some really kind of dirt eating.
Yeah, I think what put Ford on the map with this 4x4 is this Wild Track. That Ford Wild Track,
yes,
and everybody's pimping the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you get all this the decals on it, and it looks aggressive from the front, and guys are really pimping that Wild Track. So I think that's probably kind of part of the draw to Ford.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and again, nice to know that that the Roslyn plant is getting this kind of money. It's great for the local market.
Yeah.
And we're obviously producing vehicles that are good enough for the rest of the world. So. Yeah.
I mean, tell me, aesthetics don't make a difference. You can't argue with that.
No, and I mean, it's not for everybody. But the thing is, when guys put love into a vehicle like that, it really just makes the car stand out. I think it's awesome.
You know what I like about that?
Tell me.
You can start upgrading and still keep your warranty.
True. Yes.
True. So you can now start putting a.
Well, this is standard stuff, eh?
That is all standard.
That's standard.
Now imagine starting, like you're saying, to pimp that out. You go to Ford Performance and you start putting on phase one, phase two, and you start really getting some power down. You start putting some bigger fenders and some bigger wheels. Ford Performance do that. And here's the beauty, unlike any other OE. You keep your warranty.
Yeah.
Now that gives me goosebumps.
I mean, that's a sexy bloody car.
That is an awesome car.
No, they are nice cars. But they do, let's be honest, guys, they do come with a hefty price tag.
Yes.
Can you drift one of those?
Yeah, I can drift anything.
You can drift anything.
Anything real.
I actually want to see you do a lap here in the office on that office chair. I bet you
could
drift that thing as well.
I can drift this too.
All right, fantastic. So more news. New models to join Toyota Fortuna and the Hilux clan. So Glenn Crompton of Toyota South Africa announced that Toyota Global has signed to be the official worldwide partner to the Olympic Games, and I think this is a 7-year deal, and they've introduced a global campaign called Start Your Impossible, and that has been obviously launched globally, and this would also include a local campaign called Team Hilux, which brings together the buying public, current owners and dealers. Toyota has then tied up them all together with the Dakar Racing Team, with these groups encouraged to send in messages that would eventually make their way onto the Toyota Gazoo Racing SA Hilux heading off to Dakar in 2018. There is a updated Hilux, and there's one new Fortuna derivative that's been added to their range. So again, Toyota, Ford, head-to-head producing cars that that the South African public like. Yeah. I mean, South Africans like to drive big cars.
I think it's evolved to that. It's probably a split in there's two camps. One segment are downgrading and going to all the little cars like the i10.
Yeah.
And another segment are
upgrading.
Well, I don't know if it's upgrading. It's just buying, you know, bigger cars.
Bigger cars.
Don't you think that's going to split with the electric cars?
I think the electric cars are still a long time coming. We've got the Model X in Tesla, but I don't think there are any big SUVs other than that.
Yeah, they aren't. And we'll get into that just now. There's out of 2017, there's five kind of key characteristics that have happened in the industry, which we'll unpack.
And that may just stifle the growth in South Africa until a proper SUV comes around or a, you know, electric bucky. I want to see an electric bucky. But anyway.
I know. But we know it's going there. We all know it's going there.
Yeah, I know. It's got to go.
For South Africa, it has to go.
Well, it has to. I mean, and we'll get into that just now a little bit later into the show. Gentlemen, let me ask you, has anyone around the table here got a personalised number plate or ever thought about having a personalised number plate?
Have you lost your marbles?
Wouldn't you do it?
No.
Why not?
No.
Zona, have you got a? You do.
I have custom plates that I use for shows.
Oh, just for shows. Mm. Yeah, what is it called?
It says Miss Charms.
Miss Charms. Oh, okay, no, that's very nice.
I wouldn't do that personally.
Jim?
I don't have plates, but I got one better. I actually have a branded car. So
okay, cool. is your name big across the side?
No, not my name, but a whole bunch of other things.
Drift like me now, just follow me. Here we go.
But
anyway, listen, we know that you only have to drive around a little bit and you can see some of the license plates that that people have come up with. And there were 10 in a story that I pulled last week. So let's just have a look at some of these things here. There's a BMW, obviously, with the license plate "Bow for Me." Now, how arrogant do you have to be to have that as a license plate?
No, I don't know.
"Bow for Me." Another BMW, yeah, had a jaw. I like that one.
That's lekker.
Here's a A180 Mercedes-Benz joke. That's a Durban driver.
that is a joke, yes.
Here's another BM. So the letter 2, TH, so tooth, and then fairy, which I thought was quite lekker as well. And then this one perplexed me. So here's a license plate, "Cool Dad." Okay, now if that's your license plate, what kind of car do you think I'm
Ferrari.
Driving? Okay, Fazona, do you have a guess?
Something more extravagant than that.
Okay.
That's a SUV as well.
Okay, so you're not a cool dad if you're driving a Hyundai Accent. Okay, seriously. Yeah, like a Hyundai Accent with cool dad. I mean, something's not working out there.
Well, maybe his other car is.
Yeah, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're both done. Okay, then Turn Up, Western Province car, also BMW. And this
what
one...
What is turn, like as in turn up the vegetable?
Yeah, turn up. No, like turn, T-U-R-N.
Turnip.
No, not turn up, yeah. And then here's a Range Rover with a license plate, Ferrari.
Probably his other car.
Or his wannabe.
Yeah, it must be.
It's got to be a wannabe.
I just don't know how you do that. Then there was a blue Audi TT with the license plate Nemo.
That's cool because it looks like a freaking Nemo.
Yeah, and then here's a Porsche. I think this is a 911 with Chase Me.
No. Let's just get this right. Okay. That's a Boxster.
Oh, is that a Boxster?
Not the fastest Porsche on the planet.
Chase Me. Yeah.
My SUV would beat that thing.
And then here's another one. I thought this was cool. It's a Jedi IM. GP, yeah, which I thought was quite nice.
I think that's pretty cool.
But still, the best personalised plates I ever saw, and I happened to see it in Cape Town once, and it was in Camps Bay. So obviously, we know what those parking. So obviously, somebody's paying for parking. But the license plate read, it was a BMW. It was an M3, and it read, "Was his." So I thought that was quite funny. Yeah. So I mean, if you guys have got any personalised plates, you know, why don't you share a picture or two with us on Facebook or Twitter and let us know. There's any crazy people out there with personalized plates.
Yeah, I don't see the point. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know. Because it's a cost of money as well, isn't it?
Like, yeah, I mean,
you pay
the
a couple
the
of thousand rand.
Yeah, it's like $2,500, I think, for the like really personalized ones, maybe more now. That was a long time ago. I just don't see the point.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, right, so five motor industry's trends coming out of 2017. So we know that obviously the years, I mean, I can't believe it's November already, but 2017 is winding up, and another year of change in the motor industry. Hembach concerns about motor cars' impact on human health and the environment, and with the rapidly evolving technology change, you know, challenging the very basis of this global kind of business model, the motor industry is undergoing some dramatic and rapid changes. And I think the first thing, there's five key points here. The relentless advance of electrification. We have currently over 100 or so registered electric vehicles on the South African roads, and this is obviously likely to change. So, and we know this year Volvo announced that it will stop developing pure ICE cars, which is internal combustion engine cars, from 2018. Nissan's released its new generation Leaf that can do 378 odd kilometers, which is a massive improvement. Jaguar have announced their R-Pace electric vehicle, and they've got an E-Pace, which is a hybrid. Mercedes-Benz announced the arrival of their electric vehicle brand called the EQ. So obviously we know, and this is something that we've spoken about a lot in the show, electric vehicles seriously becoming a hot topic in the motor industry.
Yeah, it's coming. And we can't change it. How do you drift to electric vehicle?
Put your foot down.
It's immediate power, so I suppose.
It's immediate power, but it's got to be rear wheel. Yeah. You know, it's not.
Tesla's rear wheel, unless you get the ludicrous.
It's gonna slide. Yeah. So, you know, put in a handbrake and you can make it happen.
Can you drift anything?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I've drifted trucks, but cars.
You're not gonna get that sound, eh?
No, that's the thing. You talk about motorsport. It's a different thing to, you know, commercial vehicle.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I actually wouldn't mind an electric vehicle. It'd be quiet and it's going to be handy. But when you're talking from a motorsport point of view and you don't hear that roar of the engine, you just hear this, whew, I don't know how that's going
to
affect
motorsport. You know what I was saying to Ty? I don't know if electric vehicles are going to hit the racetrack.
I don't know.
And because of that kind of excitement and that power and that
you want that sound, that sound, don't you? But yes. I mean, look, you'll still have the tires screeching.
I think there's going to be certain genres of motorsport.
Yeah. I mean, the Formula E's already there.
Yeah, there's going to be those. But you know, you're taking away. Motorsport tends to tick all the senses. You know, sight, sound, smell, burning rubber. You know, it tickles all the senses. Now with that, you're taking away the sound, the ear,
The reason I say that is horses still race on racetracks, and we used to ride them to commute.
Exactly.
So I think electric cars probably not going to reach the racetrack as soon.
I kind of see like electric vehicles when I think of them and I think about racing. I go back to my youth with Tron and everything having fluorescent lights. I mean, that's still a trend in the East Rand sometimes. You see these cars fluorescent lights under them. But maybe
confusing it with Durban.
No, definitely not. All right, diesels fall from grace. This is the second trend from 2017. We know that diesel cars were obviously popularized by their attractive tax regimes around the world and their proven fuel efficiency. However, obviously, we know that diesel pollutes the air pretty badly. So we see that, is diesel going to become something that, you know, will be around in the next 10 years, unless you have
Electric cars are going to trump everything. So, you know, not much will change, except they'll all die at a slow pace.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the fact that they do pollute the atmosphere is a bad thing. So it's going to be good to get rid of some of them.
Yeah.
The signs of life from the South African car market, as we touched on earlier on in that story about Ford. But I see that the months of June, July, August and September posted positive growth for us. So 0.9%, 4.1%, 6.7% and 7% respectively. I mean, this is really, really good for the industry.
You know, the nice thing about those numbers is they're realistic.
Yes.
You know, when you see 20%, 15%, 25%, that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable. Whereas kind of 4.1%, 7% growth, 7% growth, 6.1% growth, those are normal numbers and probably sustainable.
And do you think we'll carry on? Do you think we'll carry on to see that trend into 2018?
I reckon. I mean, it was about 2 years ago when the economists were saying, oh, this is going to last 18 months to 2 years, and we're on that doorstep. So it looks like something's happening.
So it's good to see the turnaround in the industry, right? And then the which is the fourth one? Yeah, diamond cut wheels. So the welcome trend of exterior automotive design of late is split spoke diamond finished rims.
Diamond.
Yeah.
As in the stone diamond.
Well, I'm assuming the stone diamond. No.
No, it's the cut of the finish of the face of the rim.
Okay, well, can you unpack that for me, please? Because I don't have a clue what a diamond finished rim is.
I don't know much on it, but I know on one of my AC Schnitzers that I had, it was diamond cut. And it's just the actual finish of... it's a certain, I think...
Is it bling for Zona?
Machine. No, it's not
is
bling.
Is it not bling?
No, it's very polished, chic sort of.
Okay.
So and when you clip a curb... You're gonna out of pocket. Very expensive to fix. So,
interesting.
Yeah, and then obviously autonomous cars. We know that you know, artificial intelligence and autonomous cars are slowly...
Well,
know,
the Tesla and the Leaf are well down that road, eh?
Exactly, exactly. And so are the Mercedes-Benz E-Class and the Volvo S90. I mean, at the touch of a button, can take over the steering, braking, and the acceleration. My question that I want to ask her is, does having a fully automated vehicle eliminate driver mistakes? If you, I mean, if you're in a car that is under the controls of the computer, essentially, and you do have an accident, is that driver ever going to be held responsible?
Yes,
surely there's going to have to be, because you should be...
Because it'll go like this. There's self-driving cars, and you'll be able to switch on like you can with a Tesla right now.
Yes.
You can switch on the autonomous driving.
Yeah.
The agreement with the car is that the driver's there the entire time.
Just in case.
Just in case.
100%.
And you can take over at any moment in time. So I think that won't go away for a long time.
Yeah.
You won't be able to just fall asleep in a car and wake up in Durban.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to happen very, very soon.
However, that would be nice, though.
It would be nice. Yeah, and I bet you some people are going to friggin' try it.
No, of course. Definitely.
But it wouldn't surprise me if the car has sensors inside that are going to kind of tell whether you're alert.
Yes.
And if you're not alert, park.
Yeah.
And wake you up or something. So, you know, I think just... taking the liability off the driver is a long way out.
We'll have to watch that space. Volkswagen South Africa ordered to repay customers for on-the-road fees. So the National Credit Regulator has ordered Volkswagen South Africa to refund customers it has charged for on-the-road fees. The National Credit Act allows consumers to be given a quotation which sets out the costs of credit before signing the credit agreement. So basically, this order follows a similar decision handed down at the beginning of October against BMW, which was reportedly charging between 3 and 6,000 rand per customer for on-the-road fees. So obviously that's nice for the consumer, I think, you know, winning one against, you know, having to pay fees that you shouldn't really have to pay.
Well, I mean, if it's costs, as long as they're unpacked and transparent,
exactly.
You know, then obviously you got to pay for license and registration fees.
Yeah.
But if they're not transparent, it's a different story.
But it's good. It's a win for the consumer. That's the way I see it. And, you know, happy days. Fantastic. Right, George. Let's chat F1. Obviously, an exciting weekend this weekend.
Yes and no.
It was a bit of a... Hamilton's already got it in the bag.
But, you know, I've got no... everybody knows I support Vettel and Ferrari.
Yes, yeah.
So when Hamilton crashed on Saturday, I had a little bit of a chuckle.
A little jig in the lounge, huh?
Because, you know, he's... He I think he would have become a little bit too much in everyone's faces if he had actually won that race.
Yeah.
So it might keep him a little bit humble going into next year, because I think there's going to be a serious battle.
He wasn't challenging for position one in that race.
No, no, not in the race, because he crashed out on Saturday in qualifying. But I reckon he would have been on pole.
But he also and I see he started in the pit lane.
Yeah, he started in the pit lane because he changed his engine.
Engine.
So they had that engine. What was also nice to see is they had that engine turned up to maximum, because they know they've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
They had that engine turned up on maximum, and he flipping cut through that field and ended up just behind Verstappen.
Yeah.
And did a phenomenal job. But, you know, secretly, this is just my personal opinion, I'm glad he wasn't on the podium, because it kind of sets next year up a little bit.
Yeah.
Where, yes, he's the world champion, and hats off to him. But now you've got 2 4-time world champions. Two really equal cars going head to head. So next year is going to be very
interesting. So there's going to be a race to see who can take it for the fifth.
Proper race.
That's really fantastic.
Next year, I reckon, is going to be telling who the best driver is. This year, I think that Mercedes was faster than the Ferrari.
Yeah. Merck had a good season. I mean, let's be honest.
Had a really good season. Hamilton's a good driver. I mean,
hats off to the Oak.
Yeah. I just have my favorite.
He sulks and anyway. I see a 6-time world champion at just 24 years of age, Spain's babyface assassin, motorcyclist Marc Marquez is on the course to become the greatest rider of all time. Now, funny story is I arrived home on Saturday afternoon. I switched the TV on and I went through. I was in the kitchen doing my thing and I could hear commentary in the background and I could hear it was a MotoGP race.
Didn't he fall off?
I didn't actually watch the race, but just to my story, and I could hear these guys were commentating, and it was all exciting, and the guys were going, you know, crazy, and I was like, but surely this was on Saturday, and I knew the GP was only yesterday. And what I realized when I came to actually, because the commentators' voices were different, it was actually the E-League final of yeah, the E-League final of MotoGP, and they had 20 guys, you know, and in a head-to-head, and
that's the game one, huh?
That's the game one, and it was crazy.
PlayStation.
PlayStation, and these guys are racing bikes, and it's extremely, extremely competitive. Yeah. And then, funny enough, I also found out that this is one of the fastest growing
sports.
Well, is it a sport? Well, is gaming a sport? I don't know.
Finely tuned athletes.
You must see their thumbs. They really are. So I don't know, but it was quite exciting to, you know, to see. I mean, it's mainstream TV. Guys are streaming these things. Mm. Crazy to see that gaming is, you know, up there with, you know. Well, I'd rather watch that than our rugby.
The advent of electric vehicles, the advent of VR.
Yeah.
And fully immersive VR is the thing of the future when it comes to, you know, sport. So, not that everybody's going to be able or want to do it.
Yeah.
But I think fully immersive virtual reality is the thing of the future.
Look, I mean, granted, you just need to try and play the game, and then you see the times and the laps of these guys know exactly what they're doing on those bikes. So whether they're finely tuned athletes, Jim, I don't know. But the guys are good gamers. Let's just put it down to that.
Hey, it's a sport of its own.
It is a sport of its own. Right. Let's get on to something really, really, really exciting, which is why we've got Jim here. And Jim is one of the owners and directors of XS Promotions. And XS Promotions are putting on an absolutely massive event this weekend out at Carnival City. And it's time for some serious tire shredding. And this is all going down at Carnival City because the Auto Circus Festival, powered by Auto Trader, featuring Jim Carner Grid, has rolled into town. And you guys have been, I mean, I've seen you out there. We've had a couple of meetings on site. And Jim, Things are hotting up, eh?
It is. It's getting quite crazy out there. The grandstands are up. And as I was arriving here this morning, all the containers with all the cars. And, you know, when there's 780 horsepower Fiesta. That type of horsepower in a Fiesta.
What engine is it?
I don't have a clue, but like 700, it must be. But with sequential gearbox, I mean, these guys are not playing around. Yeah. I mean, that's Ken Block, 780 horsepower Fiesta. He races the Focus on the World Rally Championships, the World WRX. But, yeah, he's coming to compete. Then, you know, if I say the name Ken Block.
Yes.
I mean, that reverberates around the world. I mean, the guy gets 100 million views per his Gymkhana videos.
Yeah.
And this is his brainchild. But, you know, he's come to South Africa, so we've got an auto circus. This is our land.
Yes.
And we created the auto circus to make it a little bit more South African, a bit more homely. And we've got some incredible exhibitors.
Yes.
And he's coming to showcase his Gymkhana Grid here in this country, which is a great honor. But then he brings friends along.
Yes.
He brings along a world rally champion, a world rally cross champion, Petter Solberg. I got more goosebumps wanting to meet Petter Solberg, actually. You know, then the current WRX world champion, he just won this last weekend, Christofferson, Johan Christofferson.
Wow.
You know, then you got three-time world champion, Luke Woodham. That guy's unbeatable. He literally is unbeatable. But I think our South Africans are going to take it to him.
How big is the internet? So, I mean, basically, what, you know, just for the listeners out there, this is an event within an event.
It is an event.
So, it's all out Saturday, it's all out Sunday, and it's just going to be non-stop tire screeching.
It is constant entertainment. Yes. So I'm mentioning some names, but just to put it into perspective.
Please do,
23 international drivers.
Wow.
For me to just get Ken Block out here would be quite a thing.
Yeah.
But for me to now get 23 international drivers to come and compete in a Gymkhana Grid event, which I got to point out to you, Monster come to the party, they've put some great stuff out there. But, you know, it's the auto circus is where you're going to see the entertainment. There's going to be stunt cars on track. There's going to be stunt bikes. There's going to be RC cars. There's a huge entertainment facility that's going down there. And, you know, you throw in the girls, the cars, the bikes.
The noise, the sound.
Like I said, earlier, motorsport has to tick all the senses.
Yeah, 100%.
And this ticks every single box.
Jim, just if you can go back and just unpack. So Gymkhana Grid, I think, is now in its sixth year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is obviously the brainchild of Ken Block, who decided that he wanted to create a format of racing that was, A, entertaining for the viewer. It happens from my understanding, within a really, really controlled environment, so you can see every single part of the track, and these cars race against each other head to head.
I think the buzzword in motorsport at the moment is captive audience.
Yeah.
You know, you go watch a normal circuit race and you sit on corner seven and seven cars come past and you hear in the tinny commentary, crash on corner two.
Yeah.
And you happen to be sitting on corner seven.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, because it's the track time, you only see six cars come past and you think, what happened?
Yeah.
It's still entertaining. It's great to go to. Don't get me wrong. I still love going to circuit
racing. No, for sure.
But the buzzword nowadays is captive audience. Same with WRX. Instead of going and having a rally stage out in, 170 kilometers, those couple of laps on gravel, tar, everything is right in front of you. And this is – Ken Block saw the same and said, hey, put it all in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, entertaining, smoke, sound, cars, they got to get around everything. So Gymkhana is a combination of drifting, rally, a whole bunch of all the different facets pretty much put into one. And you really are seeing which is the best driver. Because now you're not only competing against the person next to you. There's two cars on track going into mirrored tracks. So you're not only racing the person next to you, you're also racing the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it really is
now
unbelievable.
Tell me, the drivers, do they race the left hand side of the track and the right hand side of the track?
So you've got a chance to go left and right. So when you line up, you line up on the left or right, depending on where you've qualified.
Sure.
If you, for example, I'm racing George. George is on the left. I'm on the right. I do the right-hand side track, and you do the left. Identical tracks.
Yeah.
We then swap around. Your time is combined.
Yes.
If you have a great run on the right side and have a problem on the left,
your average is going to tell.
Correct. So yeah.
But didn't the Americans try and capture this captive audience in NASCAR?
NASCAR,
correct.
With that oval circuit.
Yeah.
Correct. Everyone always mocks them. Goes, turn left. But it works.
It does work. That's a massive NASCAR in the States.
It's massive. Yeah. Now this has taken it one step further by creating kind of corners in both directions.
Yeah, we turn left and right.
Left and right. I wonder if Disney are going to make a movie about drifting.
I wonder.
Like they did about the NASCAR cars.
Don't know if Speed McQueen can drift.
Lightning McQueen.
Kids.
Yeah. So that's obviously the Gymkhana grid. But then outside of that one, while the drivers are having lunch and resting.
The Gymkhana grid, as you can hear, is by far an exciting thing to come and watch.
Yes.
Ken Block,
yeah.
World Rally Champions, World Gymkhana Champions. We got the works.
Yes.
But the entertainment surrounding that with Auto Circus is really what people come, it's the vibe.
Because we're going to be offering drift rides.
Oh, man, we're offering drift rides. We're offering exclusive involvement with these guys. There's going to be autograph signing. There's only 100. Auto Trader, Auto Trader have those
quickly
on their
because
own.
We're running a competition on our site at the moment where you're going to have to, if you go and read the article, you'll see there are going to be one or two questions that you're going to have to answer. But we're giving away five double sets of tickets for Saturday and five double sets of tickets for Sunday, so that's a separate competition. If you are at Auto Circus, we're running a competition where we're giving away, like Jim just said, 100 golden tickets, and that's an opportunity to have
a
meet and greet and get whatever paraphernalia you bring with signed by these drivers. So I mean that's really, really fantastic.
Go and check out the promo video.
Yeah, exactly.
On autocircus.info.
Yeah,
it is really good.
I mean, for somebody who's not myself personally, I've never been like a motorsport fanatic, you only need to see or experience drifting once. And I was fortunate enough to get a ride with Marky, your partner.
Everybody's a motorsport fanatic when you get into the captive audience.
Yes.
Correct.
It's when you're there that you're like, whoa.
I didn't realize this is what it is. That I can smell, I can feel, I can hear. The ground trembles when the cars come past. Yeah. And trust me, 780 horses in a Fiesta, that ground is going to tremble.
Yeah.
You know what's really annoying? Is the guy sitting next to you is getting into that car.
And you're not.
I'm not. George is going to be getting into
that
car.
I know. We've organized the ride with Ken Block.
I'm
so excited.
I tell you what that is. For me, it's a bucket list thing.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I don't even get that. George gets that. But it is going to be insane. And when I see what this guy is doing to that car and with that car, he has not come to play.
No.
Yeah.
He's come to compete.
750
horses. What is this? Your Ford Fiesta ST RX 43. That's obviously...
It's just the shell.
It's not an OE. That thing's been... It is pipe framed. It is insane. the noise that generates out of that car.
I mean, what would something like that set?
Well, it's insured for $5 million.
Yo.
Okay, so we're talking proper wheels here.
It's insured for $5 million on the water. We know that because we had to sort all sorts of things out with.
Yeah.
But, you know, even when he came over here for Top Gear and he had the Unicorn, that Unicorn was also insured for $5 million. Yeah. But again, that's his car. Petter Solberg
is
coming with his VW. You know, we've got Luke Woodham in his Nissan S13, and that thing is so specced out. It is ridiculous. And then it's great to just witness this, to get in the car. Mm. I don't want to talk to you anymore, George.
Should I switch his mic off?
It is very. It's going to be insane
on
the media day. But you know, that's just to watch the entertainment around there, the big screen TVs, the pyrotechnics. Now, remember that there's the auto circus.
Yes.
So we're having the stunt, the bike stunting. We've got even drifting in the corner. We've got, you can come and do your ride. So if you know, hey, I want to experience something. I don't want to kick tires. This is great.
Yeah, I want to get
in a car.
And see what
you get into our drift cars. We take you for a ride. There's RC drifting. There's scooters that you can climb on. I mean, there's so much. I mean, we've gone as far as to even get some jumping castles for the kids because it is going to be family-tainment.
100%.
Not just entertainment. It's for the entire family.
Let's just pick in terms of people that want to come down. I mean, if you don't win the competition with Auto Trader, tickets online at...
tickets are online at ticketpro.co.za. They are 415 for standing, 580 for a grandstand where you can sit and you can enjoy it. And then we've got a VIP for 980 where you kind of get a little bit wined and dined, a couple of monsters.
That's where I'm going to be, all right?
That would be fantastic.
I'll
get you one.
Thank you.
But yeah, it truly is, and the weather's looking phenomenal. And if you don't want to buy online, literally there will be a ticketing office there, and you can come in and grab it.
Just
cooler boxes and that type of stuff. So everything is going to be right on site.
Okay. What would happen if it rained? Is it we carry on?
We carry on.
And just probably more entertainment.
That makes it a lot more entertaining. Minus the smoke, because obviously, but man, the guys are going to go flat out. I mean, Ken Block's pretty much... You know, wiped his car out at every Gymkhana event, patches it up, and still makes it into finals.
I mean, these guys are here to win. I mean, this is not Mickey Mouse. This is a proper international competition.
When I say to you, these guys are bringing
serious.
Their A game.
Yeah.
And this is a world. I don't think people actually fathom.
Yeah.
This is a world championship final here on the grounds. 23 internationals. Plus
I
want
to talk about our local
plus
drivers.
Plus another 30 of our local drivers. They're going to go. We've got some of the best rally drivers that we could get our hands on. We've got some Gymkhana champs, some drifters. You know, a lot of our drifters have actually qualified. And, we've got a taste of local, a taste of international. Truly, I mean, you can see.
You said earlier that, you know, watch out, the South Africans are...
I did, yes.
You know, so you want to tell us more about that?
Well, you know, we had actually Luke Woodham come out here for a couple of days. We took him down. He came for one of our qualifiers. You know, started teaching the guys bits and pieces. And the more the day went on, the more he got quiet. You know, in the beginning, set it up like this and do that. And when he saw the guys starting to drive... He started to get more and more quiet to the point where he was saying, "Hey, can you actually still give us some advice?" And he's going,
like,
"No."
So obviously,
why not?
World class drivers on our shores. Yeah,
we have world class drivers on our shores. People don't understand the talent that we have. You know, I think we've got a it's born into us. You know, the Sorrel van der Merwes.
Yes.
You know, those guys that are still. You know, the Janiel de Villiers, but South Africans don't know. Our current guys, they don't have the same exposure that Sorrel and them used to have.
Yeah.
But
it would be amazing if South African kind of took this.
I would actually put my money on two or three South
really?
Africans, to be honest with you. Now, remember, there's two classes. There's
yes,
a rear-wheel drive class
and
an all-wheel drive class. Ken Block's in an all-wheel drive class. All the wheels spinning, hell of a difficult to control, all four wheels. The rear-wheel drive drifting type of thing. Our South Africans are very strong.
Very strong.
Very, very strong.
Please tell me how you get those tires to smoke different colors.
We actually import the colors from Indonesia, from Achilles Tires. And we've got red, purple.
Is the tire compound actually a color?
The color. It actually comes out a pink, a purple, a yellow.
Okay.
Here's the thing. When we went over to Singapore, we were invited to one of the events. And we go there and Peter, the owner, says, come and look at this. And we go over and he says, watch this. And... The car comes around. It's Daigo Saito, world champion. And he comes in purple. And we go, wow, that's amazing. And he goes, smell. Now, I'm not one to want to have a big
whiff of
tire smoke. I've had enough of that in my life. He says, no, smell. And Trez, goodness, as it comes past, you smell lavender.
No.
Not only do they have the smoke, they now have the smell.
So now they've incorporated
but
the senses.
But this is what I'm saying. It's the senses. The motorsport ticks all the boxes, you know. You get the smell of lavender. Then the next thing, another car comes around, red smoke. Smell. So obviously, rose-scented.
Gee whiz.
It's
mind-boggling.
They've taken it to another level.
Quick last question before we run out of time here. What goes into putting an event like this together? Because I've seen you guys pacing up and down. I think they had to put a new track in because you and Mark have...
Is there parental guidance on the...
No, there's not. You can actually say what you want to say. You can say what you want to say. But what goes into it?
It is blood, sweat, and tears. Yes. I've had sleepless nights. You know, the fact that such a massive event with so many different facets, the grandstands, the marquees, the everything that we've had to go through. Mike and I have had to grow some big furry balls to try and pull this off. But, you know, we've got amazing partners. Auto Trader, we've been with you guys for a long time. Yeah. And that does make it easier, you know. Where we forget about something, you guys sort of, hey guys, what about this, what about that, and we need that. Mm. Trying to get this all done on such a big international scale takes a lot of manpower. Me and Mikey have always just been the guys to put it through, so it's nice to have that type of support from Auto Trader. Monster have also been fantastic.
For sure.
Monster have been with you guys for a long time, eh?
And again, I think it shows great partnership retention. Yeah. You know, the when we're talking 10 years odd, if not more, we like to think we do a good job if that be the case. But the time and, you know, 16-hour days, 16 to 20-hour days to get it done, and that's still 4 months ago.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
Now I'm used to 4 hours sleep, 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
But, it is insane. But it is – when you're passionate, when you
– No, but
you,
I mean,
live,
you guys do it because you
stuff.
Live and breathe it. I mean, it is what you do.
And,
so.
And you know, like I say, we want people to walk out going, wow, this is a show. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So far, everything's falling into place. The weather's right. The Sun International, just to also put them out there, you know, we have a facility that's now been made for us. At Carnival City.
Wow.
It is a beautiful little racetrack.
Custom.
They've put down
custom made
for it.
Yeah.
They've come to the party. You know, it's everyone's just contributed, and it's going to be an amazing event.
Absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, Jim, you know, we've obviously worked very closely together. As a brand, we're extremely excited. Now, George, did you just want to elaborate on why do we get involved in events like this, besides the fact that you've got a great marketing team who find these events for you? But, I mean, from a brand point of view, what is it about it that, you know, what's the why?
You're a brilliant marketer, Ty.
Thanks.
So I mean, strategically, as a business, we want to be aligned with the top shows around the year, and this is one of them.
Correct.
So you know, we've got to pick our battles.
Yep.
We want to be in the physical space. We're an online business.
Yep.
And shows like this give us that opportunity to be in the physical world. 100%. While being an online technology brand.
Yeah.
I mean, if you remember years back, we had the magazine. We were in the physical world.
Yep.
Now we're in cyberspace.
Correct.
So this gives us an opportunity to kind of make the brand a little bit more real.
Yeah. It's a tangible experience for the consumers.
Exactly.
And for us to get involved.
So you know, that's the underlying kind of reason, and aligning ourselves with the top events around the year.
100%. Well,
I've got to point out to you, you say top event, you're also aligning yourself with one of the biggest content generating you know, gurus of our time.
Correct.
Ken Block.
Yeah.
You know, content is king.
100%.
And, you know, he's now making Gymkhana 10 in 2018.
Wow.
5 cars, 5 different locations. So he's also picking it up a level.
Yeah.
But I think even with that cyberspace and making it real, you still got that amazing content pool that you
can
work with.
Well, then that closes the circle and brings it back online.
Exactly.
Again, so.
Exactly. So I mean, if you can't make it out to Carnival City, this will all be it will be streamed. You know, the event is going to be streamed. But
you got to be there.
But you've got to be there, exactly.
You're not going to get the same experience.
You're going to smell the lavender.
And the rose. Yeah, exactly. You're not going to smell anything.
It's going to be live streamed. It goes out to 2 million households. Wow.
Fantastic.
400 million households, and 2 million. We actually, last year when it was in Greece, they got 2 million views, live streaming views, which beat the MotoGP live streaming. They got 800,000 and Gymkhana got... 2 million.
So we're talking about proper motortainment here. I mean, this is tire-burning, screeching stuff. Well, Jim, listen, you know, thank you very much for putting this event on. I wish you and Marky all the best.
Thank you.
We really hope it's a massive success. We've got involved because we want it to be a success. All the information is on our site. Enter the competitions. You can win tickets. 100 golden tickets up for grabs to get autographs signed, and we're really looking forward to a fantastic event at Carnival City this weekend.
Ressa, thanks for your support, and we're looking forward to a great event with you guys.
Is there anything you want to say to Marky?
Good luck, Chop.
There we go. Fantastic. Well, listen, on that note.
And for losing Ching Chong Chuck.
Yeah, exactly. We've got the Chad and Lawrence reviewed the new Land Rover Discovery 5. This was pre-recorded, so I'm going to hand over to Chad and Lawrence, and we'll be back with you shortly to. Why is that playing? Sorry, guys. Technical issue here. Have I got. Is my iTunes on?
Probably.
Beautiful, though.
No, it's not. Where's that music coming from? Sorry, let me just try and figure this out. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's jump into tech, and then we'll get to the that segment in a couple of minutes once we can find out where that music's coming from. So if we have a look at we know that the Tokyo Motor Show was. It was a couple of weeks back, and I know that the motor show obviously, you know, dazzles with future technology. The Toyota Motor Show draws the attention of the largest players in the industry, and we know that in the past the show has always been about concept cars and where motoring is going and globally where it's going.
The concept cars, and Fazana knows this, it bores me.
Yeah, because it looks nice, but are we ever going to see it on the road? So what's the point?
90% of them you never see.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's all futuristic.
But I think something different out of this year was electric vehicles, autonomous driving, sustainable future, and the artificial intelligence were the buzzwords that were on the lips of every manufacturer.
But that's what I'm saying. This time it was different.
But that's the thing. This makes it more exciting and more real, because I think what the viewers and you know the OEMs are doing is saying, this is where we're taking the motor industry. So it's not just, here's a concept car that was the brainchild of some really clever guy who knows how to design. But this is for real consumer.
This is consumer. Now the future of technology.
This is where it's going. Yeah. So we know that you know the latest advancements in hybrid and electric vehicle technology was on display, and really gave the viewers insight into what the next 20 years of motoring is going to look like. I know that Honda unveiled their new V electric vehicle. Nissan were not to be left out, and they had the new Nismo concept there. Toyota also showed autonomous functionality, and they were actually, I mean, how's this? Can you imagine driving a car with a joystick? So no steering wheel, but kind of like, I'm assuming, a chopper. You being a pilot.
Well, I mean, the Airbus, I think it's not the A380, a smaller version, is exactly that. It's controlled with a joystick. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the A380 may also be controlled with a joystick. And the pilot sits, and there's this little joystick, because I've been into the simulator.
Yes.
And I've flown it. Crashed it, but flown it.
Did you crash the simulator?
Flying is crashing.
Yeah.
Well, when you're trying to fly a big piece of metal like that, it's hard. Or maybe my piloting skills not great. It flies with a joystick. It's not. It's not.
What is it? 10-2, and both hands on the steering wheel.
Flying with a joystick. So it wouldn't surprise me if electric cars in the future
go that way.
Go that route.
That's crazy. Really?
It's easier. I mean, all your throttle control, everything, it makes sense.
Makes sense.
To be honest with you. You know, why use your feet when you...
When you can just do what? I mean...
For me, as a gamer and driver, it actually makes sense and enjoy flying. It actually makes sense. You have all the throttle control, direction...
Right there.
Yeah. And then Renault. Could the self-driving Renault be ready to take on track driving? So Renault announced it has developed an autonomous control system that can handle challenging driving scenarios. In an industry first, the system can demonstrate road obstacle avoidance as well as professional test drivers. These drivers served as an inspiration and benchmark for this achievement at Renault Open Innovation Lab in Silicon Valley. So, you know, Simon Hogarth, the director of Renault Open Innovation Lab, said that they focused on being an innovation leader in products, technology, and design. And these innovation efforts aim to develop advanced autonomous driving technologies. So, I mean, that's That's fantastic. And the thing for me is that every single OEM is doing
it. Is going down this road. Yeah. It's going to happen. You know, I don't think there's two fours about it. It's going
to
happen.
No, exactly. And then I see here, Toyota explores airless tires to build lighter electric vehicles.
So one of the downsides on an electric car is its weight. The batteries
are extremely heavy.
There's nothing in sight that says that those battery weights are coming down. The battery efficiency is going up, so the battery size is staying the same, but the output of the electrical battery is going up, but the weight of the battery is still staying the same.
Yeah.
And that is an extremely heavy component of the electric car. Cool. So everything that can make that car lighter is just going to make its range further.
So these guys are obviously now trying to, you know, work on these new tire systems. And I see they're trying to alleviate between 4 and 5 kilos per wheel. I mean, it's only 20 kilos, but that 20 kilos makes a massive difference.
I mean, if I think about my little Microlite, I put a 50, 60 kilo person in the back, and I can feel the difference.
Yeah.
There is a big difference in its flight, takeoff, landing characteristics. And, you know, not all of us drive cars to the limit all the time, but it does change the characteristics and the drivability of the car.
So I mean, these airless tires, obviously it's a solid compound that they're obviously manufacturing the tire with, that you know, obviously don't need to put air into the tire.
Well, remember the first advent of being able to drive on airless tires is the run flat.
Yes.
So you can drive it up to, I believe, 80 k's an hour on a run flat. So it's probably the evolution of those tire compounds.
Sure.
And then the shock absorbing ability of the suspension, because you know, why? I mean, maybe Jim can tell us why do tires need to have air in them?
Expansion. Tires get warm. Get hotter. You know, it's got the metal in them for the rigidity. So the air makes it a little bit more giveable.
So you can drive through potholes.
Exactly. I mean, can you imagine a solid tire, how that's going to jolt a car?
So I suppose, I mean, I've seen a variation of this in some military vehicles where they tested it, and it's got cavities in it that kind of simulate that that air that would have been inside a natural tire.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, Toyota aren't the only ones that are doing this. We know that some of the tire manufacturers, I mean, the big guys like the Michelins and stuff, this is something that they're all working towards. So not just advanced in electric vehicles, but...
There's quite a simple kind of, in my mind, there's quite a simple way to think about these things. The more components you have and the more moving parts you have, the more trouble you're looking for.
More opportunities for something.
You know, how many, I don't know if I asked you this question before, but
how many moving parts in an
ICE vehicle?
Let's see how well I listen.
Let's see if Jim knows. How many moving parts in an ICE vehicle? Internal combustion engine.
Yeah. No, there's
2,000 plus moving parts.
Yeah.
How many
something has to give?
How many? Something has to give at some point. Those are moving parts. How many moving parts in an electric vehicle?
Oh, that's just the battery. And
18. Yeah. From 2,000 down to 18.
Yeah, crazy.
Now you can understand why these cars will last forever. And tires are one of those things. You've got an expanding, contracting tire that's got a air pocket inside it. There's more things to go wrong.
Well, listen, on that note, guys, we seem to have figured out where that beautiful music was coming from. It's called My Computer. And and on that note, I'm going to head over to Chad and Lawrence. It's crazy that's 50 minutes of the show gone already. The guys will wrap up with their review. Jim, thanks very much for coming into studio.
Thank you.
Fazana, thanks for being here. George, always a pleasure. And we'll see you guys at Carnival City, 18th and 19th. You know, gates open at 10 o'clock, I think it is, in the morning.
10 on the Saturday, 11 on the Sunday.
And it goes until 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
Correct. There's a big smoke show. It's going to be insane.
Absolutely.
It's pyro, laser. You don't want to miss this. You really don't.
Yeah, I suppose this is going to be. And this is a first for South Africa. So come down and support it, guys. And on that note, thank you very much. Great show. And we'll catch you guys in 2 weeks' time.
Sure.
Rightio. Hi, guys. Yeah, we're back with another vehicle review, and joined by Lawrence. And Lawrence got you here because you spent most of the time behind the wheel of the new Land Rover Discovery.
That's right, version 5. We both drove the car down in Cape Town.
Yeah, we spent some time with it there, and we actually used it as a bit of a filming car as well.
You can sort of understand why the blokes from at European car show use them as filming vehicles.
Yeah, very popular as a filming vehicle, and definitely seeing it. I mean, they used the earlier ones, but this new one, I tell you what, I think it's taken a good couple of leaps forward in terms of refinement, drive quality, and that it's almost a completely different vehicle, and I don't know if that's actually going to be upsetting some of the diehards.
Yeah, you see, the version 3 and the version 4 had a ladder frame chassis, naturally the all-aluminium body. They now have an all-aluminium unibody construction, much like the Range Rover and Range Rover Sport. And, I think a lot of the purists are now looking at it and going, well, it's not really a disco anymore, it's now more Range Rover.
And, yeah, I want to say, I went on the launch of the Range Rover Verloyal shortly after driving the Disco 5. And as much as I don't like us calling it the Disco 5, and there's really not that much difference between the two of them. You're drawing a lot of similarities between the two of them. It's now just down to almost like a style preference.
Really much, and it's the badge on the front, really. And we made mention of that in our review. You'd be forgiven if one passed you on the freeway. It's a Range Rover. Wait a minute, that's a Discovery.
No, it's actually a Discovery. They've kept some of the styling, cues that were Discovery, but
yeah,
then
around the back.
They lost the plot round the back. I'm sorry, but that back end is...
It's that weird little dip in the panel. Mm. When I asked, I was told that it's a throwback to where your previous generations would have had the spare wheels there.
Yeah.
So it has that weird little, you could call it an S-dip.
Yeah, it's like a little dip in the side, but it's asymmetrical. It's not even...
To me, it looks like there's a very large part of it missing, like they've forgotten a panel or something. But each to their own, and I said at the end of the day, it really is up to the person who's buying it to decide whether they like it or not.
I think the front end styling is still unmistakably Land Rover, and that's fine. You know, it's got big sort of barn door, barn gate sort of
headlights
and grill and that, so it's still very strong up front, but it's around the back, and also the angled C-pillar, that sort of, I think, tying in a little closer to the Range Rover side of things and not enough to the Land Rover side of things.
So yeah, the Disco comes in at a base price of 980,000 rand.
Mm.
With the comprehensive list of optional extras that you have available to you, you could quite easily see yourself getting into one that was like one we drove at 1.3 million rand.
Now the one we were driving, I mean, that just starts out. What's the starting price there of our one?
Base price, 980, with of course, adding the optional extras and everything, you can very, very quickly run the bill up to just shy of 1.5 million.
1.5, yeah.
The one we had was the HSC TD6 Lux.
So that's now the luxury trim.
Pretty fully
closer
to the
spent.
Top end of the spectrum, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't think it's going to get much more expensive than that. But as we said, all that comes down to what you're going to throw onto it.
Yeah, we were the diesel. The only one I think that is more expensive than is the supercharged petrol.
Mm.
But that thing is just, it's stupidly insane.
Well, not by much. I mean, the base price comes in about 5,000 rand more expensive. And when you're spending 1.3 million rand, what's
supercharged petrol?
Yeah.
That drinks juice like a space shuttle.
Yeah, they're quite heavy. I must say that the diesel actually wasn't too bad on fuel consumption.
Yeah, we actually did very well up and down that mountain pass. It was
taking quite nicely. But I think what impressed me the most was just the flexibility of it. It's become very easy to use and very easy to live with. It's got that new terrain response system.
Yeah, and I think to that end, it's going to once again offend a couple of purists.
Yeah.
The skill of driving off-road sort of, it's mitigated.
Yeah, it goes out the window in
because
a sense,
you just flick a couple of switches, turn a knob, and the vehicle basically drives itself.
Yeah, and the car does it all, and it really has taken a lot of the skill out of it. But it also makes the off-road and active lifestyle a lot more accessible to a greater amount of people now, because they don't necessarily need to have all that intensive off-road training to be able to take their what is now a 1.4 million rand SUV off-road. You know, there's less risk involved, and I think that gives them a little more peace of mind, and they're probably going to end up using the Discovery a little more off-road than what they would if it cost that money without that sort of assistance systems, don't you think?
I don't think so. When you have a vehicle that rolls around on a set of 21-inch wheels...
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem.
You're not going to want to take the thing off-road. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Now, Kingsley Holgate, Land Rover's ambassador, who has basically covered the length and breadth and every square kilometer of the continent of Africa. They are actually currently on another expedition, and they have just been issued with discos. So you have a bunch of these new version 5s trekking up to the Horn of Africa, overland, and it's testament to the vehicle's capability.
It's an arduous test of it.
But now the question is, back home, would you? If you're a consumer that's just spent 1.6 million rand on a car, you're going to want to go put your bash in with it.
It does make it a little tricky. I mean, you are wanting something that's a little more rough and tumble, but I suppose for the people that are purchasing these vehicles, and I think the gross majority of them, they're going to be using it on the daily drive, they're going to be using it to and from the office. It's just to know that it has that capability for that little weekend getaway. If I want to go and I want to trek out into Swaziland or Mozambique, or I want to head out into the Midlands, I can. If I have that sort of lifestyle.
I wouldn't blame you if you wanted to, because these vehicles are packed. And when I say packed, they are packed to the brim with every manner of luxurious item you can imagine. Let's start with the little control panel in the boot.
I was actually just thinking about this. Yeah.
It was switch gear, which controls the one-person trailer hitch operation. You can raise and lower the vehicle. You can electrically operate all the seating in the car, so you can move the seats up and down, lower them, drop them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a DVD entertainment system with a 50 gig onboard hard drive. There's screens in the headrests. There's HDMI input. The infotainment system that you're currently finding in your Range Rovers, Land Rovers, and most of your Jaguar, top-end Jaguar models, that's the system that they're using.
Yeah, it's a quite comprehensive system, and it is quite powerful. It's
Meridian Audio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds fantastic. All right, I'm just going to get down to the power quickly, because we like power, and we want to know about power. So 190 kilowatts, 600 newton.
The 600 newtons that gets you don't really feel it until the vehicle is in low range.
And then it just creeps up everywhere. And
it is the creep function. We actually, while we were on launch, we actually hooked up a trailer with 750 kilograms in it, concrete block, basically,
yeah,
and did an off-road obstacle.
With the trailer
attached. And the vehicle just tug. It's something else. And goes back to that, do you really need the skill to do this anymore if the car's going to do it all for you?
Well, yeah, suppose it does take a lot of the fun out of it in a sense, if you are that kind, but I still maintain that I think it's going to put a lot of fun into the vehicle, making that sort of adventure more accessible to the people, because they know that the vehicle's now capable of it. And they've got a vehicle that, you know, when you're done doing that, you're going to climb into it and it's going to cruise along. And I must say, I was impressed with the ride comfort and that aluminium chassis is definitely making a world of difference.
The car's a lot lighter than the car.
It's a lot lighter. It's nicely refined, you know, it's not as jittery, it feels very stable on the road, and on the gravel stuff, man, it feels
and
just
that
as
is
stable.
Probably, I'll be honest with you, it is probably the best car I have ever driven off-road on a gravel. So yeah, Discovery, it's something to have a look at.
And it is a West Bank Car of the Year finalist now, so it's in there. It's going to be going up against, you know, some heavy hitters, you know.
XC90, X5.
Yeah.
There's
it's just such a growing market at this point in time.
Luxury SUVs,
yeah. And we'll have to see how that fares. Our video will be going out on YouTube in the next, possibly the next week or two. So keep an eye open for that. We drove it up and down the beautiful scenic Cape. And you can see more about what we think about the Land Rover Discovery 5 on that video. So don't forget to subscribe and follow us on our usual social media outlets, and that's, of course, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Holdworks, and you can keep abreast with what we are currently testing.
This is CliffCentral.com.